WTBR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. The image of what House Democrats say is a crude note President Trump wrote to a child sex offender is now public. CBS's Bradley Blackburn.
The signature Donald appears at the bottom of a message to Jeffrey Epstein, referencing a wonderful secret within a scrawled outline of a naked female form.
The president is once again denying he wrote that note or drew the picture. The Supreme Court's given the Trump administration the go-ahead to step up ICE raids in Los Angeles. Chandra Bhatnagar heads Southern California's ACLU.
We cannot accept a society where people are treated this way because of how they look.
A new study in The Lancet on people with diabetes. Researcher Lauren Stafford at the University of Washington.
The U.S. is doing okay in diagnosing people with diabetes. It's definitely more than the 50% average for the world. Globally, about 90% of those diagnosed with diabetes are on some kind of pharmacological treatment.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Wisconsin Democrats have introduced a package of bills they say would benefit workers. Savannah Tomei Olson reports.
Most notably, if passed, their plan would repeal Act 10. The controversial law, championed by then-Governor Scott Walker, curbed collective bargaining rights for public sector employees. State Senator Mark Spreitzer.
This proposal will restore workplace fairness and ensure that those who benefit from union representation are contributing their fair share so that we can build strong unions that can make sure we have good wages and working conditions for everyone.
The bills would also strengthen laws against misclassification. That's basically where employers can call their employees independent contractors when they're really not. Democratic lawmakers say that can have a wide range of impacts. Businesses can avoid paying payroll taxes and unemployment, and they don't have to provide health and safety benefits. Larry Statz owns his contracting business. He says companies that misclassify their employees are saving so much money, they're able to undercut businesses who are following the law, like his.
More and more competitors have adopted the illegal business model of misclassification, where they mislabel their actual workers as independent contractors. They avoid paying taxes, Social Security, workman's comp, and unemployment benefits, a responsibility that honest employers like us take on every day.
This package of bills would also reinstate prevailing wage laws. Republicans repealed Wisconsin's in 2015. All 60 Democrats in the state assembly and state senate have signed on to these bills. However, because they don't have the majority, they're unlikely to go anywhere without Republican support. For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
And I'm Melissa Kay. You're listening to WFHR and WIRI News.
Some injuries for the Packers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports NFL. The Packers have 14 players on the injury list following Sunday's win over the Lions. New additions include right tackle Zach Tom with a sore hip, left guard Aaron Banks listed with an ankle. The Packers host the Washington Commanders this Thursday night, kickoff at 7:15. On Monday Night Football, the Vikings beat the Bears in Chicago, 27-24. Baseball, the Brewers face the Rangers tonight in Arlington, Texas. The crew shut out by the Rangers last night, 5-0. Milwaukee's Jose Quintana had a no-hitter going until the fifth when Michael Helman hit a grand slam with two outs. Pat Murphy.
You get two outs in the inning and make an 0-2 pitch that just doesn't get to where you want. Unfortunate, and a great credit to the Rangers hitter who drove in all five runs, I believe, tonight. Great credit to him. Credit to their starting pitching. Their starting pitcher, he was fantastic. The catchers, I've always liked this kid. He really does a great job behind the dish.
That's Brewers manager Pat Murphy with Sports on Mike Clemens.
As Wisconsin is saying the word bag instead of bag, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. A nice-looking September day once again with a mix of sun and clouds, a tad on the breezy side. High temperatures in the mid-70s. For tonight, a slow-moving front may generate a shower or a thunderstorm. Low temperatures in the mid-50s. Right now, it's 57.
From Eau Claire to Green Bay.
Oh, my goodness, a powerful run to the house.
And Milwaukee to Madison.
Under duress, and it to safety.
The tradition of Badger football lives here.
Touchdown, Wisconsin.
Join us Saturday. Wisconsin travels to Tuscaloosa to take on Alabama. Our coverage begins at 9 a.m.
Now we'll get rolling.
On your home for Wisconsin football.
Here on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR.
You wanted to be cool, which led you to smoking, which led to a pack a day. Then you met that special someone, which led to starting a life with them, which led to wanting to live longer, which led to quitting. Then you heard you may be at risk for lung cancer, which led you to getting a low-dose CT scan. If you smoked, get scanned. Talk to your doctor and learn more at savedbythescan.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
Jane Mattenair and Greg Bach.
A handshake deal with a South Dakota senator to fund public radio. What could go wrong? Brian Wadsworth of Native Public Radio joins us.
Mattenair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11. This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
Across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is a Tuesday morning, September 9th, 2025. It's another beautiful morning to have you up here. Up North, live from Lake Wissota, from wherever you're spending your mornings, listening across the Civic Media Radio Network and all the other ways that could bring you right here to beautiful Chippewa Falls. We are very happy that you are starting your day right here. I got a question for you. It's one of those semi-serious news questions, but every so often I feel the need to ask it. Is it possible to be both an evil genius doing diabolical, well-planned things and be stupid as well? If you've been paying attention for the past 7-8 months, you already know the answer to that. But I have these two different examples of how the presidency, based in large part on racism, has both evil genius tendencies and things that are akin to stepping on a rake. So I will describe that for you coming up in just a bit. Also coming up, I will once again beg, cajole, insist that local media stop engaging in stenography when it comes to Congressman Derek Van Orden, who once again was given coverage that was unencumbered by fact checks or clarifications or context. We will review an event the other night, not a town hall, we're not exactly sure what it was, to celebrate, quote unquote, a new tax policy regarding tips and overtime. It is not nearly as generous or encompassing as you would think, to see how it's being covered by other outlets. We'll be catching up with our friend Jeff Renicky. He's a friend of the Apostle Islands. That's actually the name of the group, Friends of the Apostle Islands. And we'll be talking about the Trump administration's willful neglect of our national parks, how it's being seen in everything from overworked staff and fewer tours to piled up trash and lost revenue that could be keeping our parks in a healthy condition. We will visit with dairy farmer Hans Breitenmoser, along with Sheila Everhart from the Wisconsin Agricultural Tourism Association. You need an updated bucket list. You're going on a road trip, or you see a nice weekend's coming. This weekend's going to be nice. Now, we traveled last weekend. We had a really nice road trip. This weekend for us is going to be, you know, based on house stuff, but maybe this coming weekend is going to be the weekend that you guys can just get away and be whimsical in your planning. Well, Sheila Everhart will give you some ideas on some rural Wisconsin sites to add to your road trip bucket list for fall in Wisconsin. And then we have that new Tuesday tag team covering your capitals in both Madison and Washington, D.C. We'll have Cam Stevenson live from the nation's capital. We'll talk about the evil genius slash stepping on a rake process when it comes with dealing with Hispanic Americans and undocumented immigrants. And also at the same time deciding it was a good idea to raid a South Korean car factory and battery plant under construction. Boy, is that about to backfire. And then Dan Schaefer of the Recombobulation Area will preview the upcoming session of the Wisconsin Assembly. It's time to look at those bills beyond the state budget. and all the ways that they could change life in Wisconsin for you. So Dan will talk all about that. And then Tuesday brings both the Dans, Dan Schaefer and Dan Hagen from Newswatch 12 in Rhinelander, WJFW-TV, will tell us what kind of stories he's working on in the North Woods. And of course, along the way, you might have to go to work. You might have to take the kids to school. You might, in some way, shape, or form, miss some of this. So get over to Spotify, sign up for this program as a podcast, and be able to listen back later on, maybe during, you know, your midday chores or whatever the case may be. So head to Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts, and follow us and all kinds of other great civic media shows. We'd love to have you as a subscriber. From meteorologist Brittany Merlot, the state forecast says summer-like weather is around the corner. There will be higher heat. There will be more mugginess. And there will be dry days to close out the week. But first, we got to get through the next 36 hours or so. For today, Brittany says rounds of rain and thunder to the north, cloudy to the south. Highs will be in the mid-60s up north, mid-70s south, with a southwest wind at 10 to 20 miles an hour. Cloudy with spotty showers tonight, lows tonight in the mid-50s, and a south wind at 5 to 10. You can definitely tell the warm front worked its way through the state already, and the after effects of it are still up north as the front moved its way from south to north, because the high temperatures around the state right now are all in the northwestern corner of the state. It is 64 degrees in the Chippewa Valley here right now, and in Menominee. It's also 64 in Burnett, and then the colder spots, like 45, way down in Burlington in the southeast corner of the state. But again, much more summer-like temperatures will be around, coming back one more time. Parker Olson produces this fine program from Madison Studio A2 at the top of State Street, one block away from the state capitol, and joins us now, I believe, through the magic of radio. Mr. Olson, how are you?
The magic of radio? I thought this was the magic of the internet.
Well, it's a little bit of both. It's got to,
that's true,
got to get from me to you through the interwebs,
yeah,
and then out to the public through the magic of radio. And
true.
We're very thankful for everybody that's doing that. Was yesterday as glorious there as it was here with that south wind at like 20 miles an hour, and it was, you know, the trees were swaying. It was just a beautiful breeze.
Yeah,
it could not have been a nicer example of a late summer day where you don't have the 90 degree temperatures, but yeah, it's still very pleasant.
Yeah, no, it was very nice. I had absolutely no complaints about the weather. So yeah.
Uh-huh.
There you go. That's a good day in my book. If I don't have anything to complain about, which is hard. So
yeah, because life has beaten you down so much and you have so much to complain about otherwise. Alicia puts on YouTube, Mother Nature decided to turn the temperatures upside down. Yes, at least temporarily here. And, you know, like Alicia, if you'd like to, you know, get in on all the fun that we're having here, you definitely can. You head over to Up North News on Facebook or YouTube, or Civic Media on Facebook or YouTube, and jump in the comment section. Tell us what you're up to today, where you're listening from, what you're doing with your days. And also, we'll see those, but we'll also see if you use the Civic Media app and use the text function on there, for example, or you can leave us a voice note as well. There's that voice note feature under all the different civic media stations, and we'll catch those. We'll listen to them, maybe pop those up on air. And of course, one of these days, we're going to start taking phone calls again.
But one of these right days.
Now, you know,
we're close.
Parker is still, we're still working on that. And I say that half tongue in cheek because, again, it's not a lot of folks racing to call a radio station at 6:14 in the morning.
This is true.
You know, so we have found much more enthusiasm for people that want to, they're still in their pajamas. They've got their mug of coffee, and it's just easier to tap out something on your phone or on your computer keyboard. And that's fine. We want to give you all the opportunities to comment and let us know what's on your mind today.
We live in the age of the keyboard warrior, Pat.
We do. We've got it all. So if you are said keyboard warrior, well then, by gum, you come on out and say what's on your mind. We'll get you on the phone at some point. We'll cajole you. We'll bribe you.
You don't understand, whatever. Guys. We're so close. I thought we had it.
Alicia says technology has a Tuesday morning attitude. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Tech Tuesdays with Pat and Parker. Here we go.
Yep. What did you break this time should be our motto. Also invite you to be a subscriber to the Up North News newsletters weekdays. We've got a new newsletter editor starting this week. And if she's half as good as she was in the job interviews, you're going to love to get to know her. So I'm just teasing you with that. There will be much more time to meet and greet and learn more about the newsletters. But in the meantime, Henry, our summer intern, did just a fantastic job helping out, lighten the load with all of us, contributing to it. And you can sign up for all the work that we do with the newsletters by heading to upnorthnewswi.com. Click subscribe in the banner up on top of our homepage. There's also our Sunday morning politics newsletter. And in it, there's always a question of the week. And I ask, what caused Donald Trump's flip-flop on the Epstein files? Did he realize that he maybe thought he wasn't going to get caught doing some bad things and realizes he did get caught doing bad things? Or is it a case of he actually isn't listed in the files doing bad things, but he's protecting other people who are listed there? Or is it that he's blackmailing other people who are listed in there, and that's why he hasn't released them yet? Or the fourth option, of course, is he's right. It's all a hoax. And all these women are just making it up. They're all part of a grand conspiracy. Sure, maybe that's one of your answers. Right now, there's been a whole lot of the others. And again, to be one of the first to see the question of the week and respond, head over to upnorthnewswi.com and click subscribe up in the top banner and get on board with those newsletters. Boy, Parker, was I excited watching the first four innings of the Brewers game last night in Texas. It was also a perfect night for baseball in Arlington, Texas.
Yeah,
roof open. The roof was open on their new and gorgeous stadium down there. And Jose Quintana, you know, put down the first inning, put him down in order, 1-2-3. Second inning, 4-5-6. Third inning, 7-8-9. Fourth inning, 1-2-3 again. I mean, perfect through four innings. This was looking real good. Real good. And the wheels came off the bus in the fifth inning where he managed to load the bases. And then Quintana gave up a grand slam to Michael Hellman, his first ever Major League grand slam. He drove in all of the Texas runs with a grand slam and later on a double as the Rangers beat the Brewers 5-0 last night. The Brewers were held scoreless for only the 11th time this season. I don't know the whole list of teams and how many times they've been shut out, but I don't think it's been a lot for the Brewers. So I'm saying only the 11th time this season.
Yeah. Okay. All right. It just sucks when you have such a good pitching performance and you get shut out.
Yes, it really does. This is the same team that has had far more four or more run innings than any other team in baseball. They have these big innings.
Yeah.
All the time where they're busting out the whooping sticks, and then sometimes the sticks appear to have been put into the fire pit and somebody put gasoline on them. So we'll see if we can pick it up again with game two of the series. That's this evening in Texas. Coverage begins at 6:30 on several Civic media stations. By the way, the magic number, Cubs lost. So the magic number to clinch the National League Central Division is 11. To clinch and get into the playoffs, the magic number is just 2. And for the best record, the number one seed, the magic number is only 12. So there's some reason to be hopeful here. Okay. Let's just leave it at that.
The champagne could pop soon.
Yes, it could. So be on the lookout for that. And then of course, a reminder, the Packers on a short week, they've got the Thursday night game this time. I didn't hear all the details from Mike Clemens just now, but he was talking about injuries, and this is always the roughest part of those Thursday night games. Some would say the roughest part. I would say the dumbest part, because I still think Thursday night games are dumb, but they didn't ask for my vote. So it is what it is. And the pregame for Thursday's game against the Washington Commanders will begin at 5 p.m. on Thursday on WRCO in Richland Center, WCQM in Park Falls, WRJN in Racine, and WAUH in Wautoma. And find those stations and be a listener, because come Thursday, that game is on Amazon Prime. And there's quite a chance that you may not be able to hear that or watch it, I should say, so you can hear it on Civic Media. From the heart of America's up north, live from Lake Wissota, thanks for making this the place to spend part of your mornings. I'm Pat Kreitlow, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
There's nothing like when you get that part from eBay and it just fits. Yeah, the first time. So you can do less of this and get right back to more of this. At eBay, you'll find all the parts you need, guaranteed to fit, at prices you'll love. Sounds good, doesn't it? eBay. Things people love. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
You know that tune. You're a star. You know stuff. Why not win stuff? Maybe it's stuff about TV or movies, but still, you shine at useless information. And WFHR and Culver's want to reward you.
Welcome back.
Join the morning show Fridays for a chance to win one value basket and a kid's meal. Be our next superstar with Culver's Star of the Day every Friday at 97.5 FM WFHR.
It's the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Berrio. A big win for water protections at the State Court of Appeals. The court tossed out a lawsuit that had been filed by lobbying groups on behalf of some very large dairies known as CAFOs. If successful, the suit would have undermined a critical state water protection program that helps keep untreated animal waste out of Wisconsin's waterways and drinking water. The legal fight over the Line 5 oil pipeline in northern Wisconsin is moving to Madison. A judge is set to hear from a series of experts who will testify about significant long-term risks of the plan to build a new 41-mile segment of the pipeline. Canadian oil giant Enbridge is pushing to clear trees, dig trenches, blast through bedrock, and fill wetlands in northern Wisconsin to make way for the new segment. Knowledge is power. For a deep dive into Wisconsin's most pressing environmental issues, check out my Defender podcast at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
Small businesses are the heart of America. As the nation's largest nonprofit resource of expert business mentoring, SCORE has helped millions of entrepreneurs build their businesses for free. Find a mentor today at score.org.
As Wisconsin is saying the word bag instead of bag, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Tomorrow in our homeroom segment, helping taxpayers understand just how much the private school voucher scheme is taking out of our wallets and out of our hometown schools, Heather Dubois-Bornon will talk about a new campaign aimed at that taxpayer transparency that is coming up. I should have mentioned in sports as well, I didn't see it, just heard about it this morning, but the Bears just completely bared last night, apparently ahead handily. But then the Vikings and J.J. McCarthy managed to come all the way back and rallied to win over the Bears late in the game, 27-24. Couldn't happen to a better bunch of folks. David Crawley, the Milwaukee County executive, early this morning made official. He is a candidate for governor, so we will be talking about that later in the morning as well. Now, today's history lesson is only, about 12 minutes away or so. So let me tease you for today's history lesson with a little musical trivia. One of the songs we're going to include is from 1978. The song is Boogie Oogie Oogie from A Taste of Honey. That's the group. My question is, who's doing this iconic bass line? Who's that on the bass? We'll answer that question and more in today's history lesson coming up in just a little bit on these mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News on the Civic Media Radio Network. Well, it appears that Congressman Derek Van Orden, who has not hosted a town hall in recent memory, did host some kind of an event in, where was it? Was it Galesville? It was a no tax on tips event at a bar. And there was a story on it by a La Crosse TV station, WKBT. And to read the story, you would think that this was just an entirely positive event and that nobody had any tough questions for the congressman, not in the audience and not in the media as well. It was all about emphasizing, as the WKBT story says, emphasizing the potential financial benefits for service industry workers. The story says Wisconsin's 3rd District representative used the Galesville venue to showcase how the tax policy would directly impact food service employees who rely on gratuities as a significant portion of their income. Van Orden said, we're talking about $25,000 a year worth of tax breaks on tips, and that's the right thing to do, end quote. And the story concludes, Van Orden highlighted the savings and tax cuts that Republicans and President Trump secured for Americans during the previous administration. The congressman framed the no tax on tips proposal as part of a broader Republican economic agenda aimed at reducing the tax burden on working Americans. And that's the end of the story, kids. That's the end of the quote-unquote news coverage. Pardon me for a moment while I let out a deep sigh. I don't know who covered this. I don't know who wrote this. I am not here to single them out other than to say it is a story that is indeed quite representative of how Derek Van Orden has been covered by local news outlets that are, shall we say, bereft of experienced journalists. I mean, was this a town hall? Was this a fundraiser? Was this a drop-in? He has been hiding from his constituents for months. Covering him should kind of be a bigger deal, assuming there were people there who were not simply fawning over him and could ask some tough questions about the real-world impact of what it is he voted for. So I am again asking, maybe not begging, but pretty close to demanding, that local reporters in and around the 3rd Congressional District stop being stenographers, ask well-prepared questions, don't accept answers that are evasive or rude, as Van Orden is wont to do, or don't worry about asking questions to a guy who's going to be evasive and rude, but at least make sure that your story includes the full story about the claims he's making. For example, the WKBT story could simply go on to say the following. What Congressman Van Orden did not mention at his party is that a review of the bill he supported shows that of the only 3% of American workers who get tips, this change only affects about 1/3 of them. Many tipped workers have such a low income that a deduction from that tipped income would do almost nothing for them. And they'd still have to pay payroll taxes, Social Security and otherwise, state income taxes, and so on. And as for the tax break on overtime, which is typically paid at time and a half, the tax break is only eliminated on the half. And the regular pay level for those working overtime still pays at the same tax rate as before. That's it. That's all that story would have needed to be more complete and, frankly, more fair to the viewer. What I just said there, that part that I added, there is nothing in there that is partisan. There is nothing in there that is even remotely political. What it is journalism. Don't cover the event. Cover the story. The story is a congressman coming out of hiding, saying a bill does one thing, but he's not telling you the whole thing. And when your congressman is not being on the level with you, that's where journalism becomes the public service. We talk about elected officials being public servants. They really, so many of them don't think of themselves that way anymore. And too many journalists think of themselves as just part of, you know, an ownership group, another cog in the business of media. No, you're engaged in a public service as much, if not more so, than the elected officials that you're covering. So perform that public service and tell the full story. If the politician won't answer your questions or if the politician's going to be rude, then simply note that in the story. But then get all the details out there for your viewer, for your listener, for your reader. That really is the least you can do if you're going to have a role in media covering our elected officials in this day and age. All right, coming up, we will have today's history lesson, including who is on that iconic bass line from Boogie Oogie Oogie. In the meantime, here comes the Midwest Farm Report. Thanks for spending some time here as part of your mornings. Powered by Up North News, I'm Pat Kreitlow on the Civic Media Radio Network. You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids Home for Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
DATCAP is proposing an increase in fees for livestock yards, dealers, and haulers. But what exactly will these increased fees be affecting? I'm Ben Jarbo with the Midwest Farm Report, and Kurt Larson, the president and CEO of Equity Livestock, is here to give an inside look on the proposed Chapter 12 fee increases.
Chapter 12 is the chapter that really impacts what we're doing. And there's an annual registration or annual license fee that we pay for our markets to be licensed every year. And then dealers, so livestock dealers, as well as livestock truckers, also have to pay an annual registration fee. And primarily what that does is it funds the audits. So in our case, our livestock markets, our markets are all Class A markets because of the number of sales we have in a year. So as Class A markets, a DATCAP auditor comes out to our facility quarterly.
Kurt Larson, the president and CEO of Equity Livestock, joining us. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Ben Jarbo, and we'll take a look at some agriculture news right after this.
At the Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection, they know your business has always been something special. Now you can let customers know it too, in an instant, with the red and yellow Something Special from Wisconsin sticker. Joining the program gives you access to supplier and distribution information, marketing support, and a community of like-minded Wisconsin businesses. Best of all, you'll let people know that your work is done with care, quality, and love. You've always been something special. Visit somethingspecialfromwisconsin.com to make it official.
Farmers and ranchers across the country trust Can-Am because of how they build, support, and stand behind their machines. Now they're backing that trust with even more. Get 24 months of coverage when you purchase select Defender and Outlander models through the Can-Am Agricultural and Business Program. That's how confident they are in the durability of their units. That's not all. You also get a rebate up to $3,500. Give your fleet the upgrade it deserves. Visit the Can-Am website to learn more about the program. Offer ends October 31st. Certain conditions apply. See dealer for details.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Ben Jarbo with the Midwest Farm Report. Now let's take a look at some agriculture news. The Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce is once again holding their Coolest Thing Made in Wisconsin competition. The nomination period is open through September 12th, and the announcement of the Coolest Thing Made in Wisconsin for this year will be held on October 23rd. In other news, at the World Dairy Expo Championship Dairy Product Contest, Wisconsin showed why we are America's Dairyland by taking home 52.3% of all cow's milk cheese awards. With a look at some agriculture news from the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Ben Jarbo.
As Wisconsin is hitting the road on your Harley, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. A nice-looking September day once again with a mix of sun and clouds, a tad on the breezy side, high temperatures in the mid-70s. For tonight, a slow-moving front may generate a shower or a thunderstorm, low temperatures in the mid-50s. Currently, it's 55 degrees.
This message is for Karina, our mom who finished her high school diploma at age 28. Hi, Mom. It's Amethyst and Nicholas.
Congratulations on getting your diploma.
You work so hard and have taught us so much.
We love you.
When you graduate, they graduate. Finish your high school diploma for you and for them. Visit finishyourdiploma.org to find free and supportive adult education centers near you. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Adoption of teens from foster care is a topic not enough people know about, and we're here to change that. I'm April Dinwiddie, host of the new podcast, Navigating Adoption, presented by Adopt US Kids. Each episode brings you compelling real-life adoption stories told by the families that live them with commentary from experts. Visit adoptuskids.org/podcast or subscribe to Navigating Adoption, presented by Adopt US Kids. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Administration for Children and Families and the Ad Council.
Pete Schwaba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Green Bay's own Frank Hermans. Just a Bit Outside director Sean Hannish joins with big news and the Green Bay Film Festival's Nick Watier. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Welcome back. Your dreams were your ticket out. Welcome back to that same...
Welcome back to today's history lesson for this September 9th, 9/9/25, and we begin with the premiere of the TV series Welcome Back, Cotter, which debuted on ABC this date 50 years ago. It still is going to hit me every time I do something from 1975 and go, wait, it's been 50 years? Yeah, it is. The TV show about one of the former sweat hogs, as the kids all called themselves at this high school in I want to say, was it Brooklyn or the Bronx in New York City?
Well, I don't know.
He later becomes a teacher, and he comes back, and now he has to be the teacher to the same rambunctious type of students that he once was himself. The theme song there, that was written by John Sebastian of the Lovin' Spoonful, performed by him as well. And it would be the number one song on the charts next year, as Welcome Back, Cotter caught on and became a highly rated ABC show. Another media story, the Radio Corporation of America, later known as RCA, on this day in 1926, launched its new radio network, the National Broadcasting Company, later known as NBC. So the NBC radio network began this day in 1926. All right, let's see. We've got what else in today's history lesson here? Got to scroll down. Oh, we've got a lot of birthdays today. We've got Dave Stewart is 73 from the Eurythmics, along with Annie Lennox. Hugh Grant is 65 years old today. And today marks the birth 84 years ago of Otis Redding, who died way too soon, a plane crash in Madison at the age of 26. But Otis Redding was born this day in 1941. Everybody goes, well, it's Otis Redding. You're going to play Sitting on the Dock of the Bay, right? No, we're not. Because there's some songs when there's only like one version that's good and the rest are like pale comparisons. But respect, of course, Aretha Franklin, yeah. You know, but Otis Redding as well. Really nice version of that one, yeah. Got more than its share of airplay. And he would have done much more with it had he not passed away so soon at the age of 26. Adam Sandler is 59 years old today. Eric Stone Street of Modern Family is 54. The Bublé, Michael Bublé, is 50 years old today. John Kuhn, is 44. I like that he's really embraced the broadcast thing now. He's on the games. He's in the booth. Now he's doing TV commercials. So,
oh, is he? I don't think I've seen those.
Oh, yeah. I forget what it's for now, but I want to say it's for Potawatomi, for the sports book.
Okay.
I think. So, you know, good for him. Sometimes these athletes, they leave, you know, they retire. You never hear from them again. Like, yeah. What happened to so-and-so? And then you got like Donald Driver. I mean, honestly, you expect to get in your car one day and he's in the back seat. Hi, I'm Donald Driver. I brought you some sub sandwiches and I'm writing you a ticket for not wearing your seatbelt. He's everywhere.
Yeah, I do like players that stick around like this.
Now, I know there's folks saying, well, wait, it's Michael Bublé's 50th birthday. Where's the song from Michael Bublé? To which I say, you're welcome. Let's move on to Elvis Presley. On this day in 1956, Elvis made the first of three contracted appearances on the Ed Sullivan Show. Here's the clip of him performing Don't Be Cruel.
You know I can be found sitting home all alone if you can't come around.
I am surprised the crowd is that restrained as they were. He also would sing Love Me Tender, Ready Teddy, and Hound Dog, but he was shot from the waist up to avoid scandal.
And don't want to see those hips moving.
And the show built an audience of a staggering, listen to this. This is 1956. 54 million viewers.
I didn't know there were that many TVs.
I don't even know that the Super Bowl gets that much for raw numbers anymore. Wow. I could be wrong. I mean, your typical number one show used to get like maybe 20 million viewers.
Sure.
And now it struggles to get that. But again, you only had two or three channels at the time. So you were going to watch Elvis whether you wanted to or not. And most people most decidedly did.
They wanted to watch. All right.
Let's go to 1972. The new album there was from Jim Croce.
Uptown got its hustlers. The Bowery got its bums. 42nd Street got Big Jim Walker. He a bull shooting son of a gun.
If you were to listen just to the history lesson, and we just talked about Otis Redding dying too soon in that plane crash in Lake Monona, and then Jim Croce, we lost him way too soon in an airplane crash, and we talked about Patsy Cline, I believe, just yesterday, you'd think maybe the advice for musicians is not to get in airplanes. But remember, a lot of these were in the 50s and 60s. And it's not that planes don't crash anymore, but it was definitely a different era back then. And Jim Croce was approaching his peak with hits off that album, You Don't Mess Around With Jim, from this week in 1972. On this day in 1976, the answer to the question, you know, when did we decide to call ourselves the United States of America? Of all the things you could have picked for a country, I know they talked about like New Columbia and, you know, other names that were bandied about. But it was on this day in 1776, the Continental Congress officially named its Union of States as the United States, which seems pretty basic. Like, what are we going to call ourselves? We're just a bunch of states. Yeah, but we're United States. Wait a minute.
I got an idea. Like,
wait a minute. We're just a bunch of baseball players. What are we going to call ourselves? Let's go with the ball players. It's brilliant. Yeah. Go ahead.
What I would like to hear an alternative, Pat. What would your name have been for the United States?
That's a very good question. Maybe not England.
Not England. Okay. I'd have gone with anti-England. Yeah.
Anti-England. See, that would have worked out as well. On this day in 1791, so what, 15 years later or so, the capital city of the United States, the new capital city, would be named Washington, D.C., named after President George Washington. So there are those who say it will be renamed Trump, D.C. within the next year or two.
Oh, No.
Some could. All right, let's get to that little bit of trivia there. A Taste of Honey and Boogie Oogie Oogie. That was the number one song this week in 1978. Let's give a listen again to the start of it. Now, A Taste of Honey, the lead singer, her name was Janice Marie Johnson. They had a drummer, a keyboardist. They had a lead guitar player. But what I didn't know till now was the person putting down this bass... Oh, I hit it too soon. I thought it was the short radio edit. But forget it. We'll get this in post-production. We'll be back.
When you're listening to this on the podcast, it'll be perfect.
A lead guitar. But what I didn't know till now was the person pulling down this bass line. Nailed it.
Attaboy.
The person nailing down the bass line was also Janice Marie Johnson, the singer. And is also a member of the Native American Music Association Hall of Fame. Number one song this week in 1978. On this day in 1999, a new park opened in Winslow, Arizona. And if I say Winslow, Arizona, if you're a really good fan of the Eagles, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. The park is called Standing on the Corner Park for that Eagle song, Take It Easy. And it goes like this.
Standing on a corner in Winslow, Arizona, in such a fine sight.
There you go. And I know you're thinking, well, why didn't you bring that up yesterday? And you know why? Because was it last year? I want to say last year. Maybe it was 2 years ago when Dr. Kristen Lyerly was there and sent us a photograph of her at Standing on the Corner Park in Winslow, Arizona, featuring a statue of a man with a guitar standing on the corner. And the park quickly became a popular photo op for folks passing through Winslow, Arizona, Dr. Lyerly included. Of course.
Of course she is. I was unaware of this. Of course she partook in this. All right.
Of course she did. on this day in 2014, hey, who doesn't like a free gift? Well, apparently about 500 million of us iTunes users at the time who created an uproar when U2's new album, Songs of Innocence, showed up in our personal libraries without costing anything, but also without anyone's permission to put their album in our personal music library. In other words, it was digital zucchini. You can't just come into our music collection front porch and leave us stuff that we didn't ask for.
I was not expecting a dig at Luke there.
It wasn't a dig at Luke Mathers, necessarily. But yeah, it was digital zucchini is the way that I choose to look at it. And you would try to, like, delete it, and, like, it may or may not work. It might still actually be there in my phone, for all I know. But it's a lot different now. Now there's just stuff that comes up random because the streaming services, you know, they're trying to use AI and guess what you want to hear next. Sometimes it works, you know. Sometimes not so much.
And it's all free now.
And what do you mean it's all free?
Like Spotify, it's free.
Well,
you can just listen to stuff.
They're gonna find a way to get you, though. They're gonna want you to subscribe to something extra or whatever.
Well, I pay for Spotify, yeah, but
okay, there you go. Mathers on the text line. Yeah, that was kind of a dig, but I agree. I hated that album. And that was the problem. People did listen to the album and go, you know, not everything that you do is great. I mean, look at the Beatles. I point you to Michelle. Listen to that song and tell me the Beatles had 100% record. They did not. Every so often, one of them's going to miss. This week in 2006, we got this lead single from Justin Timberlake's second solo album. I know, I'm waiting for it to do something as well.
Sexy Back.
There we go. Thank you, Justin. So anyway, Sexy Back was the lead single from the album Future Sex Love Song Love Sounds, and it hit number one this week in 2006 and would stay there for 7 weeks. 2 years later, in 2008, music news would be made by Donnie and Marie, of all people. Donnie and Marie Osmond, this week in 2008, kicked off what was supposed to be a 6-week residency at the Flamingo Hotel and Casino in Las Vegas. But the show was so popular, instead of 6 weeks, the show ran for 11 years. Finally coming to an end in 2019 when Marie wanted to, you know, step down. Donny Osmond still performing quite regularly.
Huh. I'm no expert, but I think 11 years is a little longer than 6 weeks.
A little bit, yeah. The math definitely works on there. Tony says, it was so nice of Justin to write a song about me. Sure.
I thought it was about Pat.
Yeah, sure. Sure. Yeah. Let's see. Today on the International Day calendar, it is International Box Wine Day. Much of a wine drinker. No. I thought when box wine came out, I thought people would welcome that. Like, you know, better packaging and, you know, it would stay fresh longer without the cork thing. Oh, no. No, box wine was quickly relegated to, you know, that thing that people look down on, but it's still around. Plenty of people still drink their box wine. This is the National Teddy Bear Day and International Sudoku Day. And I can say in all honesty, I have never played Sudoku.
Never. That seems like such a you thing to do.
I know. And I've just never gotten around to it. So anyway, Roger asks from Stevens Point on Facebook, does anyone still Wordle? That too is a valid question.
Yeah.
I'm Pat Kreitlow. You're up north. Wow, that's annoying, isn't it?
Rebuilding and refreshing local radio one station at a time. This Civic Media radio station is proud to be a part of your community. Learn more at civicmedia.us.
Here's a dose of reality. Driving under the influence of prescription painkillers is just as illegal and just as deadly as driving drunk. In fact, there are nearly 2,000 drug-related crashes every year in Wisconsin. Help prevent drugged driving and let's achieve zero preventable deaths on Wisconsin roadways. Driving on pills kills. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Departments of Health Services, Transportation, and Justice.
Does Donald Trump's big bill provide the largest federal spending cut in U.S. history? No. Spending cuts in the bill that Trump signed wouldn't be the largest ever, despite claims by Republican U.S. Representative Scott Fitzgerald. The original House version would have nominally cut over $1.6 trillion over 10 years. The final version cut even less, $1.2 trillion. With $4.5 trillion in tax cuts, the act will increase federal debt by a massive $3.3 trillion over the next decade. Nonpartisan analysts say the plan's cuts would rank behind a 2011 law's $2 trillion in spending cuts. As a percentage of GDP, it doesn't rank in the top 5%. I'm Trisha Young for Wisconsin Watch. Fact briefs are bite-sized fact checks of trending claims produced by Wisconsin Watch and GigaFact. Learn more at wisconsinwatch.org.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government buy-in for the people. Utah voters are back on a path to fair maps as a state circuit court judge ruled congressional districts must be redrawn by September 25th. The state Supreme Court ruled last summer that the legislature's attempt at circumventing a citizen-led independent redistricting commission by passing contrary state statutes was unconstitutional. In 2018, Utah voters approved Better Boundaries Proposition 4, establishing a commission independent from the legislature charged with creating fair, communities of interest-driven maps for Congress, state legislature, and school districts. Ignoring the voters, the GOP-dominated legislature passed laws to make the commission advisory instead of independent and gerrymandered the maps anyway. When the state Supreme Court ruled the legislature couldn't overrule voters, lawmakers proposed Amendment D to give it that authority. Its language was later ruled deceptive. August 25th, 3rd District Court Judge Diana Gibson ordered the legislature to create congressional districts by September 25th, using the Fair Maps criteria as approved by the voters to be reviewed by the court November 10th. The Utah News-Dispatch reports that Utah's GOP leadership will begrudgingly comply with the court's order. The maps will be in place for the 2026 midterms. We have the judge's order and more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal. We're on Blue Sky at Democracy Minute.
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, and now for something local from WFHR and WIRI Studios.
Hello, world. Welcome to WFHR's Rapid Support for you this September 8th, 2025. Proudly brought to you by Crockett Septic. You have your host, James, here today. We are joined by some great friends of ours. We have the League of Women Voters of Wisconsin Rapids area with us. We have Mary Dom. And Mary, I'd like you to introduce yourself so the audience can put a voice to the name.
Hi, and thanks, James, for having us on today. My name is Mary Dom. I've been with our local league for about 30 years, serving in many different capacities. What I do now is I'm a voter service co-chair. So we're involved in informing voters about voter registration, how to vote, candidate positions. And all of this is in keeping with our mission, which is to sustain our democratic society by empowering voters. So that's me.
Mm-hmm. And Mary Arnold.
Yes. Yeah. Mary Dom got me involved. We were complaining one day about something, and she said, you should join the League of Women Voters. So I did. And yeah, I'm very, I work with Mary in the Voter Services Committee, and I really enjoy doing that, going out and trying to set up ways that we can contact people to get them to know what the process of registration is. to working with people to get him registered.
Appreciate you guys sharing both of those, and in particular, Mary Arnold, that background of that a little bit. I think that adds to the what we'll get to a little bit later, people that want to get involved in that, and it really ties into that very well. And it's a nice story. It's great to hear. I appreciate you sharing that. Always good to see you, too. Thank you again for coming back and hanging out and putting up with my silly questions and all of that. You touched on this already, Ms. Dom, but if we could get to the mission, just for those that may not be aware of the League of Women Voters of Wisconsin, of Central Wisconsin.
Sure. Well, actually, the League of Women Voters in general started in 1920 as a result of the passage of the 19th Amendment, which gave women the right to vote. And a group of suffragists decided that it would be good to have an organization that helped the new voters learn about how to exercise their right to vote. Locally, our league started in 1969. So we've been in the Wisconsin Rapids area for quite a while, 50 plus years.
Yeah.
And doing some really important work throughout that time.
Mm-hmm. Well, yes, thank you. I think we do. Mm-hmm. So.
Mm-hmm. And part of that, and thank you for that mission statement. I appreciate that. Part of that work that I'm talking about, we're going to touch on today, because there's some important notes and different dates that we want people to be aware of that might not be. Okay. One of the things that I have noted many times when talking about these subjects is the act of, okay, there's so much information, and it could be a lot for people sometimes, and things change, so that can be a lot for people. But I do think this is a two-way street, everybody. The League of Women Voters work their tails off to make sure that all this information is available to people out there and us as a community. I think what we can do is donate whenever we can, whether that's time of ours or it's dollars and cents to what you guys do, as well as also seeking out the information. You know, it's kind of a bridge. You got to kind of meet people halfway with this stuff. You can't just sit there on the couch and expect the information to fall in your lap. Sometimes you have to hunt for these things, right. Work these things through. And thankfully, there is an organization like yourselves that put all this together, whether it's in an interview like this or at the website lwv.org, and we'll mention that again before we wrap up today. But I just wanted to make sure that it's noted that information is not just, hey, bring it to me. Sometimes you have to seek this stuff out. You have to meet people halfway. I think that's very important with this, in this modern times where there's so much information.
Yeah, well, we do try to work with in terms of getting that information out. The busy times for us is when there are elections, obviously. And just, well, in that regard, the things to think about are the election seasons. And there is the first one. There's always an election in April. Mm-hmm. Every single April, there's an election. And that is the one that is pretty important because it's all local. Mm-hmm. You're voting for your alderperson who's going to fix the potholes, or you're voting for your school board people who are, you know, going to manage a school board, the school for you, the school board anyway. And those are the people you can knock on their door and say, "Hey, why isn't this done?" And especially so those that whether you live in a village, a town, a city, or you know, we all those are all just very local. Mm-hmm. That's all you're voting for. And we live in Wood County, so we're voting for the Wood County board members. We all have a board member. Nice to know who that person is and go vote for them. The only things that aren't actually local in Wood County are the Supreme Court. There are 7 Supreme Court justices in the state of Wisconsin, and we do vote for them. And that's every, well, there's 7 of them, and they have 10-year terms. So if 7 out of 10 years, you're going to be voting for a Supreme Court justice. And the other one is the superintendent of public instruction, and right. she it's a she right now, and she is the statewide office, and that's the only so Supreme Court and that office, and so there's no election, well no excuse me there is an election this spring, and we will be voting for a judge this spring. The superintendent of public instruction is not up for vote until 2029. I think she was just elected.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, 2029.
Yeah, 2029.
And so, these are the nonpartisan elections.
Yes.
The spring elections, they're not party affiliated.
Right.
So they don't have usually don't have an organization or a political party behind them. The fall elections will be, they are partisan.
Yeah, I think one of the things that when I think of nonpartisan, if there's only one person, two people for each office running. Mm-hmm. So if, say, three people want to run for that office, including the incumbent, then you will have a primary, and that's usually in February. And that's when it's really noticing that it's nonpartisan, because it's not Democratic and Republican primaries. Yeah. It's just a primary, and everybody's on that primary ballot. So that's a little different.
Yes, yeah. Very good note there. Really all great notes from both of you. And one thing that I'm reminded of whenever you guys join us and everything, and I really do appreciate the time. I love when there's somebody who can explain something complex and make it so even I can understand.
You were listening to the Rapids Report, sponsored by Crockett Septic. To hear the full interview, visit WFHR.com, the Civic Media app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Lawmakers on Capitol Hill have released a sexually suggestive birthday letter to Jeffrey Epstein that they say was written and signed by President Trump. CBS's Scott McFarlane.
Minutes after the image was released Monday, White House Press Secretary Caroline Levitt posted that the birthday card story is false and said President Trump did not draw this picture and he did not sign it.
L.A. Mayor Karen Bass speaking out after the Supreme Court gave the Trump administration the green light to step up ICE raids in L.A.
Will that same Supreme Court next decide that it's okay if we are separate but equal? That some can marry, but others can't.
The ousted head of the government agency that funds vaccine research is speaking out about Health Secretary Robert F. Kennedy and his stance on childhood vaccination. CBS's Ed O'Keefe with Dr. Jean Marazzo.
Is he dangerous?
Yes.
Why?
He's dangerous because he ignores the evidence.
CBS News.